Today's Still Mace Warrior partner is Set for Set. We want to take the time to thank them for the offer that we provided during this episode and for teaming up with the podcast to provide a better listening experience for you. You can find out more about Set for Set at stillmacewarrior.com or by visiting their official website at setforset.com. All right, guys. Still Mace Warrior here. We're on episode 6. I'm so excited for this one because I have with me Tyler Valencia, and he is the president of KIPPS. And I'm not even going to try to say that long-ass name, but KIPPS. I'm just going to keep it at KIPPS. So he has a Still Mace course out right now, and we're going to kind of – it's going to be a little different in compared to other ones, because my last ones were coaches. This is actually like one that I've been looking forward to, so it's gonna be a little different. So Tyler, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what's your story in fitness? I know you have like tons of degrees. Can you give us a little background on Tyler and kind of like what got you to the Still Mace?
Yeah, for sure. First, thanks for having me on the podcast. I think when we started connecting last week and the week before that, it was I was very interested in, you know, coming on this, and I've been following what you're doing. I think you do such an amazing job with spreading the word on Mace that I feel honored myself to be on your podcast. That especially with the Mace community, and be able to one, talk a little bit about myself, but also the I'll say the direction of the Mace. But for me, I started in the fitness industry almost 10 years exactly in July. I got my personal training certification. I started off as a personal trainer in El Segundo, California at Spectrum Health Clubs. It is actually now a Bay Club, if anybody's familiar with that brand. But that was my first job as a, I'll say it was almost like being thrown into the fire, because in that area in the South Bay, it's pretty intense in terms of people wanting the training, a certain type of training. And so being 18 years old, being thrown into a high-end gym like that, had to learn quickly. But worked there for a couple of years. And then after I graduated college in 2012, that's when I actually started my job at Nesta full-time. I was lucky enough that when I was in college, one of the internships that I had was with Nesta. And if anybody's familiar with Nesta, they're the National Exercise and Sports Trainers Association, a commercial personal training education company. And, you know, being hired right out of college, it was great. You know, I got good exposure in terms of the education side of the industry. And that's often what I say is an area that many people, they don't really know about. They know that, okay, you can be a personal trainer, you can be a wellness coach, a strength coach, those kinds of things. But the education side, it's smaller, but it's the opportunity is out there for it. So I worked there for 4 years. I worked on different types of online personal training programs. I worked on accreditation for the personal training program for Nesta, which was a big thing and gave me a really good, I'll say, hands-on opportunity to work on accreditation, seeing that even where the fitness industry stands now, we don't really know where it's going with all the different accreditations, but it's such a big topic because we're still relatively a young industry. And as the industry grows as a whole, that direction will dictate what, you know, what, where I will go, where entry-level personal trainers will go, or even established trainers, where they will go in terms of if it's licensure or it still stays with certifications or if people are grandfathered in and those types of things. And so being able to work on accreditation applications was something that gave me also a good background for, you know, for development. Along with that, I did CEU providerships with other companies and a recertification. So that was 4 years of my life, and it was great. I appreciate it because I got to meet someone that I still call my mentor. His name's Scott Gaines. He's the vice president of Nesta, and probably the smartest guy I've ever met. Just a brilliant guy. And he's the one that kind of taught me all the ins and outs of online education. So how to develop it from scratch, and how to develop programs that are for personal trainers. So after that, what I did was I got offered a position at NCCPT, which is the National Council for Certified Personal Trainers. There we go. All the different acronyms.
These names, huh?
But I got offered to be the vice president of business development for NCCPT and Smart Fitness. So me and who's my girlfriend at the time, she's my fiance now, we packed up our cats, our three cats, and we moved up to Ventura County. But, you know, that job, it was great. I, you know, with Smart Fitness, I was the contact point for about 350 gyms. So really got to make some good contacts. But, you know, with any management job, it's really team development and business outreach. So it was a little bit different than, or it was very different from, you know, my previous job at Nesta. Don't get me wrong, both were great opportunities, very fortunate for them. You know, me being me is I enjoy the process of watching something grow, developing education, and I kind of got away from that. So in 2016, August of 2016, come really close to the 2-year anniversary of KIPPS, but I started KIPPS and we started with 3 different programs. Now we're at 8 programs, and on deck we have 3 more launching this year, 3 for sure, potentially even more than that, but included in that is one, the personal training program with KIPPS, but also the functional training specialist, which is with my Genesis Flow guys, who they're going to be going through basically teaching trainers how to do their loaded movement training or flow, which is very different than what's out there currently. And but still just great stuff in terms of, you know, the industry and how we're going back towards movement and being able to utilize movement and not just traditional strength training, you know, dumbbell curls, tricep extensions, those types of things. So it'll be great. And I'm excited. I'm very lucky that KIPPS is where it's at right now, and I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. And it's actually weird that you said you guys have been around for going on 2 years, because I just found out about you. But I found out about you because of the Still Mace certification that you have going on. And I obviously, one of the things that attracted me was Mr. Mace Man and then Genesis Flow, because I did want to learn a little more about flow too. So what kind of led you to create the Still Mace course?
Yeah, it's a good story, because really I stumbled upon it by fault, because about almost a year and a half ago, I developed a kettlebell course, an online kettlebell course with a buddy of mine that actually I met at my first job at Spectrum Health Clubs. His name's Jason Dolby. He's the co-head instructor of Orange Kettlebell Club. And we developed this online course, and after that, I was just like, oh man, like I want to get more into kettlebells. I want to, you know, try to develop relationships with kettlebell companies and try to see if I can develop that more, create a partnership, all that kind of stuff. And through that, you know, I struck out a few times, and hopefully soon I'll be announcing a different partnership that I'm very excited with. I can't really say what it is yet, but I'll be excited to announce it soon. Through all that, I kind of stumbled across the Mace. A buddy of mine, he was actually planning on having a Mace Man course up at his gym up in Oregon. And so I was like, oh, you know, that's interesting. I didn't really know much about it. But through the development of the online course with Mr. Mace Man, but also, you know, doing the research that it takes to put out a course, an online course, you know, learning about the different companies, organizations, all that kinds of stuff. It's really opened my eyes to where it can be, where it is now also, but also the direction of it, because it's such a unique piece of equipment that, you know, there's so many barriers that already exist. And that's something that I'm interested to see where it goes, because really right now, in my opinion, and this is my own opinion, and I know that other people have different ones about it, but the Mace is about, I think it's about 5-10 years behind the kettlebell in terms of education and also its immersion into commercial fitness. The kettlebell, despite how long it's been around and how much, I'll say, it's even accepted now within a commercial gym, the funny thing is, research for kettlebells, there's still no distinguishing within the research between a squat swing and a hip hinge. And anybody that knows anything about kettlebells, those are two different movements. It's two different movements, different muscle groups, and different goals for it. So with something that's so already immersed in the gym setting, and we don't even have that type of distinguishing factor, you know, it's kind of like, oh, like, what about us in the Mace? Like, how are we going to get it out there? But, you know, there's research the research doesn't exist yet, I'll say, for MACE. And it's, even though that's, you know, it's unfortunate, it provides the MACE community an opportunity to pioneer things in terms of developing MACE education, but also learn from the kettlebell community in terms of what didn't work, what did work, and hopefully develop education that can, you know, help grow the MACE community as a whole.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that I loved about KIPPS was I was looking for something to do online because I struggle to even head out 4 hours out to San Diego or Phoenix. So, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate that you guys made a, you know, course for Steel Mace. And I think that if someone's looking for it, I think they should check out the KIPPS program. I really liked it. It was really good. Now, in terms of research, how does that work? Like if we did want to go down that path, like how does research work?
Yeah, so with like research in general, you know, typically you see it at the university level. So something that I'm playing around with it because as you hinted at, I do have, you know, some education under my belt and I'm actually a year and a half into my PhD. And with that, in some courses, I'll decide where I want to do certain types of projects and whatnot. And I've already done a few on the MACE just because I have all that research that I'll say in mind. You have to go into the databases and you're mining research, trying to find as much as you can that correlates to the MACE. And often you strike out. And that's kind of, and I say this even in my MACE lectures about the research that kind of goes with the MACE. It's not MACE research because that doesn't exist. And really there's only one peer reviewed research article on the MACE. And it's, and so that's not even real research. It's, you know, someone bringing together different research to put out something that kind of correlates to it. So with developing the research for it, it'll take one more publicity, you know, people talking about it and wanting it. But it'll take an organization or a university that wants to, you know, back it because, you know, often you're applying for grants or you're applying for funding for research. And then at the university level, you're trying to essentially, you know, say, hey, you know, we want to put this out there. You know, can we have the funding for it or can, you know, will you guys, you know, back it? So that doesn't quite exist right now. And it's actually pretty funny. The about maybe 2 months ago, someone that I know that he's education director for a big gym chain. He asked a group of fellow PhD classmates, oh, you know, what do you guys want to see in research? And, you know, I kind of laughed at it because, and don't get me wrong, there's always innovations coming out for different strength training, research, nutrition, all that kind of stuff. But how many times can we read the same, you know, research article on strength training or nutrition? You know, when are we going to see more things that are out of the norm? And, you know, I answered his question by saying, yeah, I want to see more about the MACE. I want to see something on that.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will. Hopefully, you know, with it becoming more popular, I think organizations like ONID, you know, with how big they are and the marketing that they have, it's great that they're getting it out there because it helps, you know, break down those barriers that exist with anybody that might see it as dangerous or anybody that might be like, you know, laugh at it at first because they don't know what it is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, I'll go at the park and I'll go swing it. And then they're like, what the hell is that? I had some ladies come up to me like, what is that? And they're a lot older too. And I was like, oh, this is a steel mace. How much does it weigh? 7 and 10. And they were just like, how do you use? Like, they're, you know, when someone sees it, it's actually a very interesting fitness tool.
Yeah.
And it's good that you brought up that the steel mace is like, in your opinion, like 10 years behind. Because for me, it's like my world is all about steel mace and I'm over here trying to get it out there. But I mean, there's people out there that don't know anything about the steel mace. They don't even know it's out there.
Yeah. I don't know, and I think that it's a good thing and a bad thing, but it gives opportunity to those that want to teach it, because even when we think about traditional exercise, there's so much information out there through social media that often personal trainers will have to act like truth bearers, or they have to, you know, essentially spread truth about exercise because they saw something on social media. They saw, you know, well, a story that I always, you know, think about is, you know, when I worked as a personal trainer, being able to, you know, get a new client and, you know, you meet them and you ask them, okay, you know, what did you like? What didn't you like? And, you know, what do you even know about exercise now? And they often think, you know, no pain, no gain, or I have to do as hard as I can in order to get the biggest benefit. And it's like, no, right. Not really, you know. Yeah, you know, there's other factors that go into that, you know, especially when you get somebody that comes from that mindset and, you know, you're asking them, okay, you know, what do you want to do? And if they're saying, you know, they want to lose weight and yet, you know, they have all these injuries, like, you can't really just push as hard as you can. You're going to end up right where you are and, you know, unhappy about it. So with the mace, it's the same thing. You have the ability to, if you know about it, you can spread positive education or even knowledge about it, and not just saying, oh, you have to swing it as hard as you can.
Right.
Get,
right.
You know, the benefit out of it. So that's kind of where I think where we're at.
Yeah. And then we see, you know, influencers on Instagram, like Leo Savage. I don't know if you've seen his stuff, but mm-hmm. You see his body. And I asked him, I said, do you think that you got that body from just steel mace? And he told me, well, 90% of what I do is steel mace.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can say, hey, yeah, this guy has this amazing physical body. He's super healthy from just with the steel mace, a 10 pound.
Oh yeah. And I think that also goes into, you know, how you're utilizing it. Not to overly promote my course, the KIPS course, but, you know, we talk about four different types of modes of utilizing the mace, with that being, you know, strength/rehab, power, loaded movement training/flow, or even conditioning. And so depending upon what your goal is and, you know, the level of your client, being able to apply that information with them and making sure that they're doing it in a safe manner. You know, that's the goal of it. And I think that also goes into what we're talking about as well with the state of the mace, but also getting education out there. There's different modes. It's not just one way of utilizing it. There's different ways to apply it with your clients or even your own training.
Right, right. And then I think that there's, you know, there's always going to be like a battle between that, like how a mace should be used too in the community. I think we've been, you know, I don't want to really talk about that a lot, but yeah, I'd like to see the mace being used in different ways. Like, it's fine. It's a fitness tool. It's out there. It's,
yeah.
It's out there for people. It benefits everyone. It's out there, you know, whatever, you know.
100% agree. 100% agree. And I was actually talking about this with my buddy who's the owner of Addicts about the history of the mace and Indian clubs. And if we even look at the history of the mace, Indian clubs, depending upon whether it's in North India, if it was in Greece, or if it was in Britain, or, you know, America, depending upon, you know, what their goal of it was, you see them utilizing in different way, you know, for calisthenics, strength building, or even just aesthetics, how they want to, you know, look better. Or even war, that's always the common one, is looking at the history, everybody had a different purpose or a different way of utilizing it. And I think that's, I think it's a good approach to have with, you know, the mace. And again, you know, taking this back to that conversation on kettlebells, you know, what attracted me to working with my buddy Jason Dolby was, you know, even though he is strong in GS style or Gerber style, he sees the kettlebell as, okay, what are you trying to get out of it? What are you trying to utilize it for? And despite him having that strong foundation in it, he's open to, you know, using it in different tools. And I think that that is such a good outlook on anything, not just with the mace, kettlebells. You can apply that to Olympic lifting, power lifting, any type of exercise, really. And, you know, I always laugh and tell a story about somebody that had a big influence on my life was somebody that I worked with for about 4 or 5 years, and even at different companies, a gentleman by the name of Tom DeLong. He is currently, I think he's the director of education for USPA, the U.S. Powerlifting Association, and despite him coming from the powerlifting background, he's open to all different types of exercise. Just depends upon the goal. What's your goal? How are you going to utilize it? You know, what is your purpose with it? And if it makes sense, if it has sound, a sound backing for it, yeah, he's all for it. And I think that that's it's a good outlook to have.
That's awesome. And I think that's what makes a really great coach. In case anyone's listening, yeah. I personally think that that makes a really good coach, being very open-minded.
Agreed.
With what you do. Yeah. So how have you, after launching KIPPS, the Steel Mace course, how long has that been out, first of all? And then how have you seen it grown? How, like, is it doing good? I want to know, like, behind the
scenes. Yeah. So the course launched in November, and, you know, each month we're seeing growth with it. What's really kind of growing right now is also the live one, which 2 weeks ago had the first live one in Long Beach, California on June 2nd. I'm having one in Miami with Don from Addix. And so each month I'm actually trying to add more and more to it, trying to find coaches that want to teach the KIPPS curriculum. So with that, like I mentioned, there's four different areas of the MACE that trying to introduce in the pro, not introduce, but trying to focus on. So finding instructors that, you know, see that as, okay, yeah, I can get behind that and I can believe that. So right now recruiting people like that, that, you know, see that, but also, you know, can be able to, you know, coach it in a manner that is for, I'll say, our target audience, which is personal trainers, coaches, strength coaches, all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, those kind of growth areas is great because not only does it help the other programs that I sell with KIPPS, but it's such a growing, it's growing so quickly right now that I enjoy the process of seeing, you know, who else wants to be involved with it. Because if you keep a positive outlook on it, if you keep the mindset that, okay, they want to do the same thing as you, it's a beautiful thing in my opinion.
Yeah. And I've seen you with a Steel Mace. So for those listening, do you use the Steel Mace? How often do you use it? And do you love it?
I do. I try to actually do swings on a daily basis. One of the things that I actually use it for is the word that people use as a primer for other exercise, coming from a Highland Games background. I compete in the Highland Games, and we have something that's called the Scottish Hammer. And with that, it's very similar to the mace. So I sometimes, or even all the time, I try to use the mace before to increase my core temperature, increase my heart rate, but also increase the movement in my shoulders, or just prime my body to go throw. So even if I'm doing the Scottish Hammer or another event is weight for distance or even my stones, I'm utilizing the mace or the kettlebell to get myself ready for that. But I try to on a daily basis do it just because, in my opinion, I like to, or, you know, my opinion, you gotta get up and move throughout the day.
Right.
So with a job like mine where I'm in front of a computer a lot, I try to get up and do something. And, you know, to my right, and there's a closet, and in that closet, I got kettlebells. I got some Highland Games stuff. my maces are actually in the back of my car. With other Highland Games stuff. And it's funny because, you know, I drive a sedan, and that sedan is getting beaten up in the back from all this equipment that I keep in there. But, you know, that's all part of it.
No, yeah. And that's one thing that, you know, if you're listening to this and you're just getting to Steel Mace, one of the cool things is you can take it anywhere, just like a kettlebell. And yeah. You can do so many movements with just this one fitness tool. So if you've been interested in getting into Steel Mace, that's one of the pros about Steel Mace.
Definitely agree.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is something you'd want to answer, but, you know, go for it. What are the sort of benefits that people can get from the Steel Mace? Or I don't know if you want to give your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. The benefits, would you say the benefits for like a beginner or benefits for a client, a coach? I think that I can go on both of them because there's so many different things. You know, I'll start with the personal trainer. So let's say that the personal trainer wants to get into MACE education. I think a big benefit is from a business standpoint, they're going to be one of a few inside of a commercial gym. So an example that I always gave before was with kettlebell education. If you look at a commercial gym, let's say that there's 10 trainers, typically what you'll see is maybe one to two will have a high-end kettlebell. certification, you know, a Strong First, RKC certification inside that gym. Now let's look at that from the Mace. I'm going to say it's 0 to 1 inside a commercial gym. So being that trainer that has a high level Mace certification and the ability to coach that within a gym, it gives you that, that unique, you know, I'll say selling point, that you're that one trainer that, okay, if anybody's interested in unconventional, you know, athletics, boom, you know, Victoria, you got it. Okay. I'm going to send all my clients to that person because, you know, you might be interested in that kind of stuff. So it's a great, aspect to have as a trainer within, you know, a commercial gym. If you're a gym owner, you can look at it the same exact way. If you're a gym owner and you're in, let's say, you're in Bend, Oregon, and I'm laughing because this is one of my buddies. If you're in Bend, Oregon, and if you are a Mace trainer and you have Maces within your gym, you're probably one of very, very few gyms in that area that has a Mace within your gym. So it's a great selling point. It's unique. It brings character to your gym, but also the benefits that can be seen with the clients is it depends on your goal. You can really look at it from correlating things with the kettlebell, that you could see there's conditioning benefits, there's increased joint mobility depending upon how you're utilizing if you're doing traditional Mace, like 10 to 2s, 360s, or even if you're doing loaded movement training flow, you have increased joint mobility in those. You know, I think about, you know, you want to look at, if you just go to, you know, Leo's Instagram, you look at him moving around with it, you're moving in multiple planes, you're trying to control a load away from your body. That is literally the definition of core strength right there. And that's kind of also what we talk about with within the KIPS course with loaded movement training is, one, when you think about core strength, that is literally the definition, in my opinion, the ability to control a load away from the body. And so those benefits right there, it's not a traditional crunch or a leg lift right there, but it's such a big aspect that is applicable to daily movement. And that's another benefit right there. So really, there's so many benefits, and I don't have I had my slides in front of me. I can just start reading them down for you.
Yeah.
But it just depends on the goal. It depends upon how you want to utilize it. But it's such a unique thing that you're going to get looks. You're going to get looks at the park, in the gym, and people are going to want to know. They want to know what you're doing. And most likely, I feel like as long as you're doing it in a safe manner, people are open to it because, I mean, I haven't come across anybody yet that, you know, if they see, they ask about it and they're willing to try it despite, you know, what it looks like, because it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it adds like this level of fun too, because I've taken a couple of my friends to go try it. And at first they're like, no, what is that? It's going to hurt me, because it's a strange tool. So they just kind of like, I don't know if I should try it or not. Is that hard? And then you get them to it and they have so much fun with it. They have so much fun. A little too much fun, which I'll save the story. But can you talk a little bit about Genesis Flow? Because I think a lot of, you know, I know it's in the course, but I'd like to know more about Genesis Flow. I think you mentioned his name was Sean, I think.
Yeah, so my guys from Genesis Flow, and I can talk too long about this, to be honest. Genesis Flow is the two guys, Trevor Tom and also Sean Corkery. They are the owners of it. Thankfully that they entrust me to basically... The best way to say is that they give me access to their stuff because they trust me to help them develop it. And right now, we just actually launched on May 1st was the first day that the website genesis-flow.com is live, and we're accepting monthly payments for it. So that website right now is basically monthly subscriptions for loaded movement training. So in that platform, you're going to find flows with the dumbbell, barbell, which is amazing. Just think about trying to do loaded movement training with a barbell. Also, they have the Viper, which is a key tool that they like to utilize as well. And we're actually editing right now with the Mace to put in there, because we know that it's another great tool that you can utilize for it. So that's Genesis-Flow, monthly subscriptions. There's going to be a new flow added every 2 weeks to that platform with also Genesis-Flow. My next course with KIPS is through them. It's we're calling it the Functional Training Specialist Certification. And essentially, they're breaking down the whole aspect of, okay, how do you take someone from, depending upon where they are on a spectrum, zero knowledge to, you know, being a master instructor with it, taking that coach through it to be able to apply it with their clients. And so loaded movement training, the best example and the easiest example that I could give for it is, you know, if we look at movement, a good example is like farmhands and people that have, you know, they don't have a gym membership, but yet they're just super strong. So you see a farmhand, and there's someone that comes to mind, someone that I met through the Highland Games, but he, or in general, you know, these people, they're just super, super strong. And you look at their daily work, they're moving in all planes. They're having to lift things up, use all their major muscle groups in order to move it. And you ask them, like, oh, what do you do? Do you power lift? You're like, no, yeah. I don't even own a gym membership. But yet, they're so strong. And that concept applies with the loaded movement training, the ability to, you know, move in multiple planes, utilize different tools in order to get a different benefit from it. And I think my favorite benefit, and it's my favorite benefit, but the funny thing is that's often not the client's favorite benefit, is the increase in coordination. From what I've seen is people always get mad. Clients get so mad when they seem uncoordinated and they can't move with things. And yeah. But you know, the ability to utilize your brain while you're exercising and train that, I think it's such an added benefit that it's not really talked about.
Yeah. I was watching Genesis-Flow on Instagram, and I noticed that they had one of those huge, you said Viper, is that what they're called? Yeah. I've never seen one of those before. That was the first time. And I was like, yeah, I don't know why, but I was like so impressed by that. I was like, I want to try one of those. How much do those things cost anyways?
They're pretty costly. The cool thing about them is, you know, one, the handles on it, but the different ways that you can utilize it. It's not just a big rubber thing. You can utilize it for the strength training or the loaded movement training. And what I love and what often happens is when I work with these guys from Genesis-Flow is I get so distracted with watching them move that I'll forget to either turn off the recording or things like that happen because I'm just in awe. Because, you know, in the Mace videos that I've recorded with Sean so far, he's typically utilizing a 15-pound Mace and doing those movements. With anybody that, you know, does Mace swings, 15-pound, you know, a beginner Mace swinger, 15 pounds is, it's not just 15 pounds. And with Sean, or even Trevor, if you give them a 20-pound, 30-pound, 40-pound, they are able to do the same movements with that Mace. And I think that is also what is different about their type of Mace training. Everything has its goal. Everything has different purposes. I'm not trying to say that theirs is better, but it's a different way of utilizing the Mace. And that's what amazes me with what they do is how they take a load and they can increase it throughout the movement. With the Viper, a funny story that they will tell, and I've seen them do it before, is they call it hot dog or something. So those Vipers are in kilograms. And so they will take the biggest Viper, which I think is 20 kilograms, and then they'll start adding in Vipers on the side to make it even more. So you can probably see them do it with at least 40 kilograms worth of weight. But, you know, they move so smoothly with it. And that's one of also the goals and the benefits of it is the efficiency and the timing of it. And that's what actually makes it look so appeasing to the eye is the timing of it. And it's amazing what they do.
Wow. Yeah. I was impressed by the flow section of it because, you know, I'm used to seeing, you know, a lot of the influencers on Instagram, and I just felt like it was kind of unique. I was watching Sean and I was like, oh, it looks different. I can't explain it, but it looks different.
Yeah.
I think a listener should go check out Genesis Flow, because that's interesting. And I want to see more Mace coming out of Genesis Flow. That'd be awesome.
Yes. We're working on that now, filming more, getting them to put out more content with that, because I think the Mace community will appreciate the ways that they do that. And they also, that's something that was actually brought up when I was filming last time with them or with John, was that, okay, what are some traditional moves we can add into it? Because I know that, even though I don't think there should ever be any type of, negative comments about different types of flow and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that, oh, it's not traditional. But I know that, and I appreciated it when, Sean asked, he's like, oh, like what's in a traditional, Mace move that I can throw into this flow. And, I think he understands it. I'm about to say the business side of that, but the, being able to make something appeasing to everybody. And I think that that is also a goal of Genesis Flow and, their involvement in the Mace, but also with Kips, is making sure that everybody feels welcome and the ability to use it and apply it with their clients.
Yeah, no, definitely. I can tell that, I can totally tell that that's what that course was made for. It's made so that everyone has access to some type of training and certification as well.
Yes.
So I guess my last question to you would be, if for a total beginner, someone just getting into Steel Mace, obviously they're, do you recommend the course to them, or do you think that, or are you just, targeting personal trainers?
Yeah, and that's a good point, because really, with Kips, it's meant, all the education on Kips is meant for personal trainers, strength coaches and whatnot. And for someone just getting into Mace and they're not really in the coaching community, it might, some of the stuff might go over their head. And I'm not trying to, offend them that way and make sure that they understand that, the education in it is for that. Like, even if you just watch my first lecture in there, about research and, different types of Mace stuff, like I'll say probably 90% of it, they'll be like, what did this guy just tell me? Like, what did he just say? the online one is mostly for personal trainers, strength coaches, and also the live one. But the for resources, I think it's a cheesy answer, but it's so true, is a great resource is YouTube. Like, I can't even tell you how many things I've learned from YouTube, whether it's for business, whether it's for education, Highland Games, or for the Mace, or even kettlebells. There's so much great information on YouTube, and you just got to be able to decipher whether it's they're trying to sell you something or if it's really meant for educational purposes. I think the majority of people can just watch something and be like, okay, they're just trying to sell the product or whatnot. But right. There's really great resources out there for that. And I also got to say that I think that you're a great resource for the Mace community, because seeing what you're trying to do with linking trainers with clients, but also trying to spread Mace in a positive manner, I think that's so important for a young tool or a young community to be able to move forward and be able to have that reinforcement that, what you're doing right there, it's making sure that, it's available out there for everybody. Like what you're doing with these podcasts, it's all positive stuff to make sure that people know about it. You're spreading the word.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. So if someone was looking for a Kips trainer, obviously I just started, for listeners, mm-hmm. I just started a coach directory where you can find certified Steel Mace trainers around the world. Mm-hmm. But if they wanted to maybe look up a Kips, certified coach, how would they go about that? Like, should they just look for someone in town, or?
Well, maybe that's something that we could talk about after, but really that's something that coming from the commercial end of education, I always have to weigh things. I have to debate them in my head if that's something I want to implement, because if I look at the kettlebell industry, on every kettlebell website, they have a find an instructor, a database of instructors. Right. But if I go to the commercial end, then you don't have that. You don't have find an instructor. some companies have tried to do it before and it just goes kind of by the wayside, because there's also companies that do already do that. They try to connect the personal trainer to the client, and it is it really worth a small piece in that? So that's something that I've weighed in my head. I'm not sure if I'll ever implement something like that, because I don't know if it, when there's already like things like, I think fitnesstrainer.com, or even, I'm sure there's even more than, I'm sure that there's pages and pages worth of companies like that. But it's, I'm sure that as the certification grows, the goal is to have more and more KIPPS trainers, and hopefully, you know, the commercial end or even just a regular client will know what KIPPS is and know that, okay, they'll feel like they're in good hands because they know that the instructor was given education to be able to apply the mace with them.
All right. Yeah. I love your honest feedback. I love that you were honest about that. And I told you guys that this was going to be an interesting podcast because, you know, I that's not my world. So I love that that I'm learning something today.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's I try to be honest, and it's a, you know, with coming into the Mace community, I know that there's probably hesitation saying that KIPPS is a business. It's a bigger business in terms of it's not just one person or a specialty company that just focuses on the mace. We have other certifications. We have other certifications on deck. But it's education is so crucial, in my opinion, to anybody's growth. You got to make sure that you're continually learning. That's something that I apply with myself, that I always say that is a key factor in where I got to right now is the ability to stay open to education and not just directly, you know, put something out of your mind because you don't understand it or you don't know where it's coming from. So hopefully people see that too. And I can't thank you enough for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Now, are there any workshops coming up for Steel Mace, and where can listeners find you?
Yes. So the next certification is in Miami on June 2nd. That will be at a person named Lionel. Get Lionel Strong at his gym out in Miami. The one after that right now that we have planned is actually on August 11th in Long Beach, California. I'll be doing that one with a couple good friends of mine. And to find me, my Instagram handle is Tyler underscore KIPPS online. The KIPPS one is KIPPS, K-I-P-S underscore online. And also you can find KIPPS on Facebook, YouTube, even Twitter. Twitter's still out there, but with the YouTube channel, there's great education on there for senior fitness, kettlebells, mace, wellness, group exercise, and all that kind of good stuff.
Right on. All right, guys. So you know where to check him out. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it, Tyler. I'm honored. And we'll see you in the next episode. And may the universe always flow with you.